Well, before I went to Kalgoorlie, I was actually in Applecross in Perth, and started playing there. My dad was a hockey player who played. My mum and dad came out from India back in the 30s, 40s. 46, I think they came out just as partition happened in India and Pakistan. Yeah, he was actually a pretty good hockey player, but my brother and myself played here in Perth, and then we went to Kalgoorlie. Dad was a primary headmaster, and we returned to Kalgoorlie as I was born up there, but did the circuit with the with Dad as a primary principal. So we ended up in Kalgoorlie, and I spent all my high school days in Kalgoorlie. So I remember playing on the grass and on the Crookshanks and doing all the lining of the game, for the pitches and all the rest of it. So it was an interesting time. We had a really great development there because we played a lot of different sport, hockey being the primary one for me, but I played a few others. And just being able to play at another level up against adults fairly often. So that was all good fun. Had a really, really interesting experience, and finally came down to Perth at the end of all of that, and started playing with YM down here in the first division competition of the Premier League or whatever. Changed his name a few times, and that's sort of the beginning days.
So your introduction to hockey in Perth, Terry, that was straight away into A grade hockey at YMCA.
Yeah, I was. I came down. They had a relegation match, as I recall, and David Hatt was the captain and leader of what was going on at YM, and the guys there at that stage. I remember Brian Glencross being around, and I came down for a relegation match. I think in 71, and then I managed to get through, and then 72, I went down to Perth, and we played, and we ended up doing pretty well that year. In actual fact, with YM.
Terry, had you been noticed as a junior in Kalgoorlie, or was it not until you got to Perth people sort of started looking at you as a player with some sort of potential?
I was selected in the under-16 state team from Kalgoorlie. I went away with that team she was 1968, I think. I was involved at that level, at junior level. And I'd been sort of touted, I guess, as a possible option going forward. So that's sort of the initial piece of it. And then I was a pretty quick athlete and all of those sort of things, which always helps when you're playing sport. And I was lucky. I was able to, get a foot in the door, as it were, with from a selection point of view. And then one thing led to another. And very quickly after that we went into senior hockey. So yeah, the answer was I guess I went straight into the senior environment when I came from Kalgoorlie to Perth.
So to ready you to step up to that kind of level at a young age, were there any particular coaches that stood out from your time earlier on?
Well, we played in the adult competition in Kalgoorlie, so I was the difference, I guess, was the refinement and the quality. But there were some good players. Speedy Rook had played up there earlier on, and there was a bunch of guys who played a lot of hockey up there, Barry Patterson and co, Terry O'Meara. There were really a lot of people who were around, and we garnered a whole lot of younger guys in the schools and the clubs to play. We didn't have a lot of teams there. We only had four or five teams, but it was a pretty full-on competition. And of course, we also played in the junior competition as well. So the level was well short, I guess, of what the Perth First Division level was. But I was able to hold my own, probably because of my athleticism more than anything else.
For people who don't know, Terry, at that time, how would you describe Kalgoorlie for listeners that may not be aware of the town itself?
Well, it was a gold mining town, and it had been enhanced a lot with nickel in Kambalda back in that era. And probably most people who have any history of the WA world in any of the geology, I guess, was that Kambalda became the nickel centre, and we had things like Poseidon and so on around the place, and the big share market piece jumped up, and I always remember the number of four-wheel drives running backwards and forwards in Kalgoorlie at that time. So it was very much an active mining town, but we didn't see it so much as that. We used to rush around and use the gold mining, all the dirt that was spewed out from the remains of what went on in gold mining, made these big, really high slime dumps, basically, they were. That's what we refer to them. We used to cycle, use our bikes around there a fair bit. And that was, it was just part of what went on. You know, as I was going into uni and so on, I used to spend my time up there in the holiday periods working on the mines and trying to help out, earn a bit of pocket money on the Great Boulder and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was definitely a mining town, but there was a huge amount of sport that was played. It was just everywhere, and it wasn't anywhere near like it is today with such, where we have synthetic pitches up there, but also reasonable grass pitches around the place. It was pretty tough, but it was great. Really, really enjoyable time to come up in the sport.
Now, to move on to your career leading as a player, leading into playing with Australia, Terry, our co-host here, Matt, dug out a lovely piece from a hockey bulletin in which it's probably the first time hockey people saw your name, and it was in a junior carnival where you'd scored 5 goals.
Phew. I can't even remember.
It was a state game.
I remember playing for junior carnival down in Busselton or Bunbury, the Bunbury Junior Carnivals, but not a lot in the early days. But yeah, look, I don't know where that was from, whether that was a Kalgoorlie piece or a Perth piece.
No, I don't want to give away your age on it, Terry, to be honest, but it was...
I don't have a problem about my age. I was born in 53, so you can do what you like with your age. You just, that's the way it works.
So, yeah, it was a WA Colts. I think it was you travelled to 1972, so you'd... in assessing individual performances, 3 players were outstanding: Terry Walsh, YMCA; Steve Smith, Old Modernians; and Bruce Shanahan, Old Aquinians. Terry Walsh scored 5 goals and was the driving force in the forward line.
But as you finished
third in the final rankings in that competition.
Well, there you go. The competitions were thick and fast. I mean, the guy I went through my career with was David Bell. He and I sort of got into the next level, the national level, at the same time, and our careers sort of mirrored each other right through. That whole era of the Davies and Hazelhurst and Charlesworth and so it went. We had a whole bunch of guys, Terry Leese and co, who played for long, Craig Boyce, Grant Boyce, that era, along with Shanners and Steve Smith and co. We went right through that junior era as well as into the senior group, and then a couple of us went into the Australian environment as well.
Terry, looking back now, do you see that particular period of time in Perth specifically as one of the great, almost like a little mini dynasty? The players that were coming out of Perth and Western Australia at that time were dominating, and in many ways have continued to dominate hockey in their post-game career, post-player careers.
Well, it was an interesting one because, there was a lot of good players at that point in time in WA, and my time with one of them, David Bell, we played under 11s and under 13s at Applecross Primary School, or not Applecross Primary, but the Applecross Hockey Club, which we never knew what was in front of us down the track, but I ended up going away into Kalgoorlie and then coming back, and David was, of course, Dibsy was very big in cricket as well, and he ended up sort of moving in towards hockey, and was obviously one of the best right halves we ever had in the Australian side. So we had a lot of players who were around when we had a national team competition. There were a huge number of national players at that point, like Pooley and Charlie and Hazel, and there were just a bunch of them, too many to go through in name. They ended up were in the Australian side either previously or beyond. But the guys who I remember in my playing days, early playing days in YMCA were Donnie Smart. Donnie Smart's the best individual coach I've ever had. He was just fantastic. He was a great guy and a really nice person and a fantastic individual coach. We spent a lot of time together. Bag, Brian Glencross, was down there as well. He obviously had a whole lot to provide, and he was a really good guy to follow through. David Hatt was another player, and quite frankly is the best captain I ever played under. He was really, really an outstanding mover of men, if you like. He could really manipulate people very effectively in a timely fashion. So, I was really lucky with the people that I started with in YMCA. That gave me a huge benefit. And then I had the Craig and the Grant Boyces and Co, who I basically grew up with in that era, Terry Lees and Co. We did have a really good group of players, both in the club environment and then in the state environment and through into the national environment. We were a bunch of young guys who didn't know where we were going, I don't think, in 19... when I first started my Olympic program in 76. We were just a very young group, and lo and behold, we ended up losing the final to New Zealand, which was the only game we'd lost for a long, long time to New Zealand, and did since then. We've been pretty dominant over New Zealand, but they won the gold medal, and deservedly so on that day. But there were a whole lot of backdoor stories that go on with all of that. But the biggest piece at that moment was that was probably the beginning of particularly India and Pakistan finding it very, very difficult at the very highest level. Yeah. Pakistan sustained for a lot longer, but India fell right away. India now are starting to come back a bit, and Pakistan is still struggling. So it's been an interesting 30 years of hockey programming, I guess, on the international scene.
We'll get back to that point, Terry, because it's something we're going to bring up a bit later. But just looking at your own career, you played for the senior state team in 1974. You made your debut, and a year later you find yourself at a World Cup playing for Australia in the senior team. Did that seem like a natural progression to you, or was it a bit of a shock?
Bit of a shock. I mean, that was pretty quick, I think. Normally you would expect to take a bit longer to go through the system, but I guess it was more of an indication that it was time for a change with the Australian group. And the Australian group were pretty successful. Yeah, look, I think it was a bit beyond the norm. I don't think people really go through that process very often, but it's quite amazing when you do get an opportunity to do it, because you just move from one environment of high level and you go into another. And I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones who was able to, still stand on my feet at the next level. And so often in sport, you see this happen where people go to another level and there's a ceiling that they have in their playing levels. And sometimes it's sort of first division versus second division, sometimes it's first division versus state, sometimes it's state versus national and international sort of levels. They're all different, and it's a mixture of just ability, but quite often it's not just the playing ability. Usually it's to do with the mental makeup of the player, I think.
Did those early days in Kalgoorlie perhaps help you in that mental side of not being pushed around?
Well, probably. I mean, I remember we did a huge and a very expensive national survey on what the best athletes had in their background, and two of the major things that came out of that very expensive AIS survey a long time back, would have been in the 80s, was talking about kids who played in the country environment and played multiple sports. Now that sounds very trite, really, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things that go along with that, and our history in WA hockey, we had a lot of WA country boys who were playing in the high level hockey. Relatively, people came out of country environments in a relatively large number. So, yeah, I think it does have a bit to do with it, to be quite honest.
Do you notice that in some of the other countries you've been to? Or is it something specific, say, to Australia, that we get so many people from outside of the main population centres?
Hard to know. It really is hard to know because Australia is such a different country to many of the others. You know, you've got your cities and you've got your towns, and a lot of the towns are big enough to handle, you know, sport in its own right. A lot of the other countries, they tend to be, you know, if you take Holland, for example, then you don't have this difficulty with travel. You can go wherever you like in the country. But I guess India or the US sort of hit it fairly closely with reference to the geography, you know, having to travel a long way to do anything. And totally different pictures in both countries compared with Australia. So it's for me, it's impossible to try and make that same categorization, you know, from Australia to others. But my sense is that the human nature would be that if you get exposed at an earlier age and learn the coping strategies of being able to play against someone who's twice your size and twice your age and all of those sort of things, and put up with the normal, not just the physical stuff, but the mental stuff, you know, being the young upstart and being maligned accordingly, you know, because a lot of those guys think that makes a bit of difference. Yeah, I think you just learn to cope with all those things at a much earlier time than you otherwise would.
So back to those early days, 1975, you've gone into the international program. What was the setup like then? How often did the players get together? You know, what were the routines?
Well, the routines were sort of non-routines, to be quite honest. You just played in your club environment in Perth, as it were, and then if you're in the national team, you were lucky to be selected from the national championships, and you waited for the results of that at the end of those. If you're lucky enough to be in the team, then you might meet the rest of the guys going to a tournament in Singapore and just go across to the tournament. And that was it, really. And if you did that two or three times a year, that was a reasonable amount. Now, the things that changed, of course, is the frequency of events. So you played on a more regular basis as you went through in the last 30 years. And so guys who played 100 caps back in the 60s, well, hardly any of them did because there just weren't enough games for them to play. There were only a handful of games a year. So you had people like Julian Pearce, who I regarded as probably the best hockey player I've seen come out of Australia. He just wasn't able to play too many games because he had a career that he had to look after and then had to match it in with the very, very meager number of tournaments that people played at that time. So the guys who played 40 and 50 games in that era, compared with guys who played 300 games in today's era plus, it's pretty hard to get your head around all of that. Plus, the combination of hockey now becoming a semi-professionalised sport, if you like.